And now it's our joy and privilege to welcome Bruna amongst us this morning and her daughter Sophia. And we look forward to hearing what Bruna has to bring to us today, mainly about the work of CSW, which is Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Am I right?
Yes.
Right. And also, as she brings God's word to us as well. So welcome, Bruna.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Morning. My name is Bruna. Like my sister has mentioned, I was born and raised in Brazil. And when I tell people that, they're like, "Well, you look so white." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, Brazil is a big country. So this is me. I was born and raised in Brazil. I came to England in 2011, fell in love with an Englishman from Gillingham, and we met in a place called Ashburnham Place. I know, it's a wonderful place. I was a volunteer there. My husband was a chef there, but no, I'm the one that cooks at home. But yes, I know, but what can we do? So he's a good man, I can't complain. So thank you so much for having me. I work for Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and we are a Christian human rights charity, and we love what we do, and I'm really grateful that you opened the doors to hear what we do, because as Christians, it's very important to be aware of what is happening around the world with our brothers and sisters. So let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to be part of what we are doing here. Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that your thoughts of us are good and not of evil. We thank you that you love your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be part of this conversation, Lord. And we sit at your feet, Jesus. We sit at your feet and we want to receive from you. We give you glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see if I can use this guy. The time has come. Let's see. I would like to show you a quickly video about CSW and a little bit of what we do.
Okay. Next time you go to church or pray with others in your home, remember that most people around the world don't enjoy that same freedom.
So they say, just collect your belongings. We must put her far from the city so she can't pray, she can't do anything.
She was kela one amo one escola kumashila kemi one escola ke ayel mo ke wal stani mo ke.
Before then, the church has been burned several times, and there was no time there was a riot in the state, or there was any religious violence that the church was not touched.
Yo estaba hablando de que hay un reino que no soporta el gobierno ni las dictaduras.
They have two options, you know, or kill me or put me in jail.
Freedom of religion or belief is an issue that affects so many in so many different ways.
Some Christian children have to change their names into Muslim names in order to get to school. Or in some cases, they have to leave their homes, leave their parents, and go to other states and stay with other families in order to get to school.
I come from school. Where's your dad? Well, he is in jail right now.
Que había una orientación desde el gobierno de que a mí se me tratara de la peor manera que se puede tratar a un ser humano. Había toda clase de tortura física y mental en contra mía.
When he beat you with this stick, you feel the whole your body fire. They know where is the nerves.
For over 40 years, CSW has been a powerful voice for freedom of religion or belief. At the UN, with the UK and US governments, the European Union, we speak to those with power to bring about change.
We've seen captives set free, and we've seen policy change that has affected thousands, if not millions, of people's lives around the world.
As Christians, we stand with everyone facing injustice because of their religion or belief.
We've been advocating on behalf of the displaced Rohingya Muslims in Burma since 2005. And that's way before most of the world had even heard of their plight. Why do we do that? We do it because that's what Jesus would do.
I believe that it is our responsibility as an organization to speak out for all religious groups, not just Christians.
Còn khi mình làm việc cho những người không chưa cùng tin với mình á, thì để cho họ thấy được rằng là mình là người tin Chúa, thì họ thấy được cái đức tin của mình và qua công việc của mình, họ sẽ biết đến Chúa của mình.
We believe that advocacy and prayer are a powerful combination.
Porque aun cuando yo no estaba orando con toda la intensidad que necesitaba por la condición en que yo me encontraba.
And in the morning, I was released.
Es que fue la oración la que me salvó la vida.
Và nhờ sự cầu nguyện của anh em, Chúa đã hành động cứu tôi ra khỏi Việt Nam.
Join us in building a movement for religious freedom. And together, we can change many more lives.
Okay, so CSW, we speak on behalf of all the religions, and majority of the cases we work with are Christians. After all, Christians are the most persecuted religion in the world. And we do that because these are human beings who are suffering. There was one of our stories from us, is that a gentleman was put into prison because he was an atheist. He didn't have any religion. And so CSW went to visit him because we don't agree that anyone should be put into prison because of their belief. And this gentleman asked CSW, "Why are you here?" And he said, "I'm here because I'm a Christian. My God loves you, and it's not okay for you to be here, and I want to fight for you." And so it's an opportunity for us Christians to show the world who our God is, that our God is not okay with anyone suffering for their belief in religion. And so free will is a gift from God. Free will has been a gift to mankind. We see that in Genesis when God commanded man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil." The right of freedom of religion and belief is a human right. It must be protected, defended, and restored. So how CSW works? CSW has a team of specialist advocates working on over 20 countries across Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East. So we do a lot of research. So we go into these countries. We have specialist people in these communities learning about their culture, learning about the law of the land, and understanding what is happening, gathering evidence of abuse of people who are suffering, people who are being mistreated, people who are in jail, who shouldn't be in jail, people who are being threatened to death, who shouldn't be receiving any threat of death. So we do very deep research so we can present depth research to politicians, policymakers, and institutions. We also do a lot of training. So a lot of these communities, a lot of the minority communities, they are not even aware of the law of the country. So a lot of communities, they suffer a lot of abuse because of their religion, but they are not even aware that that is against the law. A lot of countries, they do take freedom of religion and belief very seriously, but the community are not aware of it. And so they are abused, they are taken advantage, and they're not even aware. So we go there, we train them, we teach them their rights, and also how to gather evidence to us and how to write a report so then we can send to the United Nations, to the UN Parliament, to the US Congress to speak for them. And so we also do advocacy. What is advocacy? I think a good example of advocacy that it comes to my mind is when the walls in Jerusalem was destroyed. And someone approached Nehemiah saying, "Nehemiah,
The walls are destroyed. People are suffering. People are grieving. So when he heard that, he then approached the king. He was an advocate. The first man who came to him and said, hey, the walls are destroyed. He was advocating. And so Nehemiah then advocated to the king, and the king helped him to bring about change. And so that's what we do. We go to places of power and we speak on behalf of minority communities, people that are forgotten, people who nobody cares, but these are human beings. Human beings are of great value to God. If God cares about them, we care about them. If Jesus died for them, we will serve them. And so these are a few of example of cases that we've worked in the past. 17 years ago, Reverend Mario was arrested. His family contacted CSW, and so we started during our work, gathering evidence, working with people in power, advocating, speaking up, moving people around the world like you and me to sign petitions, to do campaigning, to go into to write letters to the MP, to speak on behalf of Reverend Mario. He was released from prison and sent back to jail on many occasions as he was fighting for his rights in Cuba. Cuba is a really terrible place to be a Christian. It's not very easy there at all. His sentence, which was supposed to last months and years, lasted days because of prayer and advocacy. Reverend Mario said to CSW, at home, I received letters and postcards from people around the world, especially from London and Australia. I read everyone. I read the Bible verses people sent me, every card people made me. It made me feel safer. It gave me hope, made me strong. The friends who wrote to me were angels. I knew God was with me, and I felt part of the family of Christ. Reverend Mario arrived in America as a refugee, and CSW continues to fight for a day when Reverend Mario can go back home and worship God there. Marianne Imbram, a Sudanese Christian woman, was put in prison with her small son last year when she was heavily pregnant and sentenced to flogging and death for supposedly leaving Islam, even though she has been a Christian her whole life. Miriam was forced to give birth to her daughter in prison, in shackles, on the floor. Miriam and her husband Daniel had been held together with their children, Martin and Maya, at the police station for over a month. Although she testified that she is a lifelong Christian, the court ruled that she abandoned Islam and therefore she was originally Muslim. Since Muslims are not allowed to marry non-Muslims, her marriage is deemed invalid under Islamic law. So she has also been sentenced to 100 lashes for adultery. After CSW and other organizations took up Miriam's case, over 60,000 people spoke up and lobbied Sudanese embassies all over the world. Miriam's life was spared, and she now lives in the USA with her family. Once again, did she really need to go to prison? What a waste of the time of the police. They should be fighting real evil, but people are just put in prison for their faith. Yusef Nadakhani, a pastor in Iran, was falsely accused of apostasy. He was accused of leaving Islam to become a Christian, sentenced in 2009 to death for supposedly denouncing Islam. He was released 2 weeks later, but for the next 16 years, he would be in and out of prison as Iran authorities tried to stop him from pastoring his church. In 2009, he received death sentence. In 2011, the Supreme Court gave Pastor Yusef the opportunity for him to renounce his faith and save his own life. He refused every time. Eventually, thanks to international pressure, he was freed. But Pastor Yusef was sent to prison again. He was worshiping in a house with his wife and other four brothers in Christ.
when authorities took them all into custody. His wife was released the following day, but Pastor Youssef and the other four men were falsely sentenced to 10 years. Over the following years, he would be released and rearrested several times. These treatments of arrests, harassment, and injustice are common in Iran, especially for those who convert from Islam. CSW, as well as a number of Western organizations and governments, worked relentlessly on Youssef's case. Over 58,000 people who protested in London, Rio, and Brussels, and he was released in February 2023 as a part of a national amnesty. His case was really interesting because CSW at the time realized that Iran had no interest in any dealing with Europe or United States, but they were quite interested in Brazil. So they approached CSW and some other organizations like United Nations. They've approached the Brazilian government and said, they want to trade with you, but these pastors are in prison. Help us. And so the Brazilian government approached them, the Iran government, who spoke on their behalf, advocated for them and said, we will trade with you, but you need to let them go. And so that was a part of a trade that they did with Brazil as well in kind of partnership. But what a horrible thing to have to trade human life because they are Christians. So Pastor Lorenzo, we have been working on Pastor Lorenzo's case since 2021 when he was violently arrested after participating in a peaceful protest that took place across Cuba in July of that year. He was tried and convicted of charges of disrespect, assault, criminal incitement, and public disorder, and sentenced to 7 years to prison. February 24, the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention ruled his imprisonment met the detention on which is when someone is arrested, but there is no evidence that they committed a crime against the legal status. In fact, they said it was against 9 articles of the UN Declaration of Human Rights. So he was put in prison unfairly. And so CSW went and spoke up to the, and the UN spoke up and saying, actually, Cuba, what you are doing is wrong. In fact, you are doing these other 9 crimes that you are not supposed to do. In a letter, the UK Foreign Secretary, David Lammin, wrote to Pastor Lorenzo to express the UK government's continued commitment to advocating for his release. The recognition of the injustice against Pastor Lorenzo by the UN and the UK were significant breakthroughs. And we are pleased to let you know that Pastor Lorenzo was released from prison in January this year. This was also part of a mass amnesty following the United States announcement that would remove Cuba from its list of state sponsors of terrorism. Even though Pastor Lorenzo has been released, we are really praying for him and still working with him because he's still being mistreated in Cuba. He let us know a few weeks ago that the job they made him do it, it doesn't pay well at all. He earns about a thousand of their money, but 30 eggs is 1,500. So he's having to really work really hard for nothing. So he's still being persecuted for his faith. They are asking him to leave the country, but he says God hasn't called him to leave the country yet. So we are still praying for Pastor Lorenzo. So we do speak on behalf of all the religions. And there is a story in the Bible that some of us might know very well in Luke chapter 10, which is the story of the Good Samaritan. There is this lawyer, this expert of the law, who approached Jesus and said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, what does the law say? And the expert replies, well, love your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. Jesus said, do this and you will live. The men wanted to challenge Jesus and go a little bit further and ask, but who is my neighbor? So Jesus answers by telling us the story of the Good Samaritan. A man was attacked and robbed on the road. He was hurt and left to die, and he was left in the road naked. We don't know where this person is from. We don't know where this hurt man is coming or going. We don't even know if he is a good or a bad person. We don't know what religion or tribe this person belongs to. All we know is there's a human being who has been suffering and left to die on the streets. So Jesus mentions three different people who passed that man. The first man was the priest, a church leader, someone with great respect, with great honor. But the Bible says that he passed on the other side, ignoring this man who was left on the road. The second person was a Levite. A Levite was someone who also served in the church. Someone who would be serving in the church, someone leading worship, dealing with all the songs and the worship. He also passed on the other side and totally ignored that man. But then the Samaritan came. And the Jews absolutely despised the Samaritans. When Jesus said this story, it was the shock of their lives that Jesus would even dare to mention a Samaritan. In the Old Testament, we see this story of Israel when they used to be one country, one people, Israel, God's people. But at some point, they disagreed. North decided they did not want to follow God anymore, Yahweh. South, they wanted to continue following. And so they had a bit of affliction there, and they decided to separate. North was Israel. South became Judah. And the Assyrian Empire came as a punishment, unfortunately, for God's people for not following him, took them as captives, took them into exile. At a time, some Israelites were left behind in the north, and there was the capital of Samaria. And so these Israelites intermarried with people from the Samaria, from people who had pagan religions. So by the time we see this story in the New Testament, the Samaritans were people who denied their own faith. They were Jews by blood, but they were not really, because they had renounced their faith. So they didn't like each other. They did not get along with each other. So to hear that must have been a real challenge for the Jewish community. And so Jesus mentions the Samaritan came. And the Samaritan went to this man and looked after him. The Bible says that the Samaritan saw him and had compassion on him. Let's read what the Bible says very quickly here in verse 34, chapter 10, 34. The Samaritan went to him, poured olive oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them, then put the hurt man on his own donkey and took care of him and took him to an inn where he cared for him. Next day, the Samaritan brought out 2 coins, gave them into the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of this man. If you spend more money on him, I'll pay you back when I come again. This story, like I mentioned, it must have been a big challenge for everyone listening. What Jesus is saying is, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is people, human beings, individuals. People who are walking and talking, individuals who are ill, individuals who are well, just people. Because that's who he loves. He loved the whole world, the good and the bad. He even loves the people who are not Christian. Yes, those who don't believe in Christ, we believe, unfortunately, they won't be taken up to heaven. But nevertheless, God still loves them. So one of our manifestos in CSW is that we believe that as Christians, we must stand with everyone facing religious persecution. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. It's not just saying speak only for those who are Christians or speak only for those who belong to you. No, speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of all who have nothing. Speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and needy. So here are a couple of cases that we are working in the moment. At the moment, Leah Sharibu, in 2018, 110 girls were abducted from a government college in Nigeria by a gang in Nigeria. In March 2018, following negotiations with the government, this terrorist group returned 104 girls, warning people never to enroll their children in school again or they would be seized permanently. Five of those girls died while they were captive. Leah Sharibu, she was aged 15 at the time. She was the only Christian among students and she remains in captivity. She was refused to be released as she has been refused to be released because she refused to convert to Islam. She refused to convert. She refused to stop being a Christian at the age of 15. And so she remains in captivity. She was declared to be their slave as she refused to convert. To this day, we continue supporting Leah's family in pursuit of her freedom. On Christmas Day 2019, Professor Tafa and the co-founder of the Do Mercy Orphanage for Vulnerable Children in Nigeria was arrested. 27 children were seized from the Do Mercy Orphanage and they were placed in a government-run home. Reports soon emerged of children being mistreated and facing pressure to convert. Professor Tafa was arrested with a warrant and was charged later for abducting 19 children from their legal guardians and confining them in an unregistered orphanage, it was all lies. Both allegations were false, but although he was falsely accused and charged of abduction, he was subsequently sentenced to 2 years in prison. CSW has been raising awareness of Professor Tafa's case since he was arrested, persistently calling for his immediate release. CSW has also raised the professor and the Do Mercy Children case with the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention. We've been joining together with prayer and campaigning with over 3,000 supporters emailing Nigerian commissioners to urge the Nigerian government to review Professor Tafa's case. On 27th of January 2022, we received a call from Professor Tafa's wife with the incredible news that her husband had been declared innocent of forgery and discharged by an appeal court. Please continue to pray for Professor Tafa. He continues to face persecution because he's a Christian leader, because he's a Christian man who is running an orphanage. But also pray for the children who are still being held in the government-run orphanage. These children, their only parents they knew for years, it was only Professor Tafa and his wife. So these children who are already in an orphanage were taken away from the only parents they have ever knew. There was another case as well. We received 2 days ago, a church in India was attacked by 50 Hindu extremists. They destroyed the church. They attacked the church community, the congregation. And when the police was called, the police actually treated the pastors in the community really, really badly and told the pastor's son, shame on your father. I hope you don't become like him because he was a Christian. And they went to jail. They went to prison, the pastor and his wife. And thank God they were released because they couldn't prove what they were doing. So basically in India, it's illegal for you to convert. and it's illegal for you to try to convert someone. And so this Hindu community was saying that they were trying to convert people, but no, they were. He was just running a normal sermon, because you are allowed to be Christian, but they just don't like you, and they will make your life very difficult. How to get involved? If you would like, as an individual, please pray. I cannot emphasize how much, out of everything we do, prayer is the most important thing. We beg you, church, to pray. And I know in this church we have people of strong intercession. Please pray. Pray for the work of CSW. Pray for the government. Pray that we will be heard when we speak up about these cases. Pray for the authorities. Pray for Indian government, for Iran government, that they will bring about change of freedom of religion. Pray for the protection of Christians. Pray for Northern Korea. You are not allowed to be a Christian there at all. They live as if they were living under COVID system still. People are not even allowed to leave their cities, their counties. It's a horrendous way of living. They are not allowed. In Northern Korea, in China, the teachers in school, they ask the little children, your homework is to bring us a Bible. And they bring a Bible. And the family and the children are taken to prison for their faith. So pray. Prayer is powerful. We serve a living God who loves people, who loves the world, a broken world. So please pray. Another way you can support us is campaigning. You can write a letter to your MP. When you email your MP about a case we are working on, that alerts the MP that their constituents are concerned about the case. They are more likely to accept a meeting with our advocates to discuss the situation and what can be done. You can also sign a petition. I brought one here if you'd like to sign a petition for Burma and Myanmar. Military strikes are horrendous there at the moment, so we are begging the government to stop, because people are dying every day, all day. And so we have petitions. You can sign one. You can join a protest. We do protests outside embassies, speaking up for people. It's a peaceful protest, of course, but it works. It does work. It gets the politicians' attention. And you can write a letter to one of the families we are working with. I have their addresses, and you can communicate with them if you'd like. And you can share about the work of CSW with your neighbors, with your friends, and other church leaders as well. And finally, of course, you can give. We welcome your giving. Your giving allows us to continue working on behalf of these minority communities. And thank you for having me. It's been a week now. I'm back from India. And it's still a little bit hard for me to talk about it. I feel like half of my heart was left in India with my Indian fellows, brothers and sisters there. And when I received the case about this church in India, as I was reading, I pictured this happening in the church I was with in India. And I couldn't imagine my dear friend, Pastor Beniz, in India being taken to jail with his family because he's a pastor. What we do is very, very important, and we are just grateful that you accepted us here. CSW were supporting women in Mexico who were experiencing religious discrimination. And one of the ladies said this to CSW: no one has ever come to talk to us or to hear our stories before. We go to places nobody wants to go. We speak on behalf of people nobody knows they exist or cares. When in India, I went to a leprosy colony. And as I was looking at this lady with leprosy, she didn't have fingers, she didn't have her toes. And she was looking at me, smiling, looking forward to me to pray. She was trying to hold my hand with her hand and hugging me. And as I looked at her, I said to her, I'm no greater than you. We are sisters. And one day, you and I will be dancing in heaven. And as I left the place, that lady stayed in my mind because thank God for Pastor Beniza who helped her. In India, the authorities, they force people with leprosy to live in the dump. When Pastor Beniza told me about it, I actually thought he was telling me it was metaphorically speaking, but no, we literally went in the dump. And so they used to live in the, amongst all the rubbish. So Pastor Beniza built houses for them outside this dump place and pays for medication and food for them. And I'm thinking, who would care about these people? Who would care about their suffering? But if our God has his eye in this sparrow, he cares for human life. And these people who were leprous, they were Hindus, but now they've become Christians because Jesus Christ was the only one who actually bothered about them. Praise God for the God we serve. He loves humanity. He loves all of us equally. None of us are better or worse. No matter who we are or where we come from, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most beautiful and the most powerful message we can have. It's literally the pearl found in a hidden field. Praise God, we are blessed. Let's just pray and we can finish. Well, I'll finish my part. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you care for us. And we thank you for CSW and your church who also cares for the things that you care. If you care for the broken, we care for the broken. If you love the world, we'll love the world. We give you glory. We give you thanks, Jesus. And I pray specifically for Walmart Church here, Lord Jesus, Baptist Church, that your power will be upon every single member in this church. Thank you for them. Bless them. We pray for health over every member. We pray for your kingdom come, your will be done in their lives. We pray for their families. We pray for my sister who is expecting twins, Lord. Thank you for her life and bless her family in Jesus' name. We bring Barry into your hands and we pray for restoration over his body in Jesus' name. And for my brother's wife who is suffering as well, Guy's wife in Jesus' name, we bring her to your hands and we ask for peace and healing to be upon her in Jesus' name. We give you glory, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you all.